Yeah. Bill Henry Show, welcome to our next hour. We'll call it our second hour. It's our next hour. And we will have on the line with us here momentarily Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who is an aspiring stand-up comic. He owns a construction company, but he also does stand-up comedy on the side. And the reason why we're going to be talking about stand-up comedy is a very interesting situation occurred at the Improv in Washington, D.C., I guess last night. One of the comics there, a gentleman by the name of Dan Nanen, was performing at the Improv on DuPont Circle in Washington, D.C. In the crowd was a writer for the Daily Beast, a man by the name of Josh Rogan.
Brett Rogan?
No, Josh Rogan.
No, he said Josh.
Fred Rogan is Rogan.
Well, isn't that great? Fred Rogan's Rogan. What are you, nuts or something? You know?
No, what? Yeah, but people would be thinking you're thinking about Fred Rogan, and maybe you misspoke.
I'm not misspeaking, folks. I really do mean Josh Rogan, not Fred Rogan. Okay?
All right. Man, you know, you don't have to just shut up. I haven't worked it out. You don't need to shut up.
Hey, no. I'm going to throw you guys out of here, and it's going to be a violent toss. I'm going to throw you through windows. I'm going to throw you through walls. I'm going to throw you through cars. I'm going to throw you into the street as trucks are rolling by. Understand?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Well said.
Thank you.
You get torque now. Never mind.
Watch it, bud, because you ain't even close to being funny here, all right? Comedian Dan Nanen arrested after a journalist punched in the face over tweets. Now, this is an expanded update, so they really, at the reliable source, an expanded update, a version of a story that was first published early this morning. It includes news of charges against Nanen and more witness accounts. A Washington journalist was punched in the face late Wednesday, apparently over some wisecracks he made over Twitter, which doesn't happen nearly as often as you might think in this town. And if I may be permitted a small addition, it doesn't happen near as much as you might think anywhere in this country, you know, with the immediacy of communication, especially with the way how acerbic people can be on Twitter. The incident, which culminated in the arrest of stand-up comedian Dan Nanen, occurred at the Improv at DuPont Circle Comedy Club, where Nanen was performing and writer Josh Rogan was in the audience. Rogan, a foreign policy scribe for the Daily Beast, tweeted some mildly tart criticism of Nanen's routine. Dan Nanen was funny until he dusted off his 2005 Katrina jokes in a gratingly bad GWB impression. So that's one comment. Next comment. Dan Nanen makes his umpteenth joke about how Asians can't distinguish between letters L and R. Election, erection, we get it. Hashtag DC Improv. Now, understand that this guy, Josh Rogan, he gets about 76 retweets on the first comment. He's got 123 retweets on the second. So the guy's got some followers, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Is that a lot of retweets? I don't know.
Yeah, 123 retweets is a pretty healthy amount of retweets. Minutes later, Nanen approached the writer at his table in the back, Rogan said. He said, "Are you Josh Rogan?" I said, "Yes," and he punched me in the jaw. And here was the tweet, by the way.
Oh, he tweeted that?
Yes, here's the tweet. He says, "Dan Nanen just punched me in the face. Not a joke."
How many retweets did he get on that?
He got 198 retweets on that.
That's not that many.
Well, that was as of 6:15. Wait a minute. It says here 6:13 p.m. What? 6:13 p.m. Where is he, man?
He's in Washington, D.C., I thought.
Well, okay, but one of the tweets, 5:59 p.m., 6:02 p.m. What time is this guy on stage, man? Now, I don't know if that's local time, if that's East Coast time, or whether this is on the West Coast somebody was monitoring this. So this was being monitored on the West Coast because it was 6:13 on the West Coast. 3 hours, they had to be like 9:13. Okay. The writer of this is somebody with a site called The Reliable Source, Roxanne Roberts, and I don't know, I guess it's a West Coast news site. So he said, Dan Nanen just punched me in the face, no joke. Nanen also pushed Rogan, then briefly walked away, only to return to take two more swings.
Woo-hoo!
One connected, Rogan said. So he got punched twice. Other witnesses, including National Journal editor Eli Izadi, who had been sitting near Nanen, confirmed the encounter. A U.S. News reporter also published her firsthand observation of the incident. Bouncers removed Nanen from the room. The bouncer had to eject the comic. They removed Nanan from the room, and police arrived to interview both men separately. According to the arrest report, police charged Nanan, age 52, with simple assault. This guy's pretty good-looking for 52.
Well, what has that got to do with anything?
Let me see. Yeah. Very young-looking. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Margaret.
He's 52. He's 52. He assaulted a man. He assaulted a member of my profession.
Oh, give me a break, will you? Yes, he did, and he got arrested, okay? I just said, he's 52 years old. This guy looks a lot younger than 52. Anyway, they arrested him and charged him with, quote, simple assault. What does that mean, simple assault?
Well, it's just if you just punch a guy, like as opposed to rape him or something. Yeah.
What do you mean as opposed to rape him?
But that's rape.
I know, but what is, have you ever heard of assault and battery?
I didn't know what that meant, assault and battery.
Battery is when you just push someone. Assault is when you punch them.
What about rape?
Bud, I'm going to kill you.
Hey! Rape is rape, you idiot. God, Margaret, what is up with you?
What's up with him? What, are you related to this guy?
Take it easy.
You said that just like that guy in Clockers.
So what?
I'm going to kill you. All right, bouncers removed Nanan from the room, and he bounced out, and then he bounced back. The incident became an immediate social media sensation, with Rogan himself possibly the first to tweet the news. The room was filled with Twitter-happy Beltway denizens who'd gathered for the semi-annual Funniest Celebrity in Washington contest. Oh, so it was a big event.
That's the thing. I don't understand people with the... Do you have your tweet out, or not your tweet out? Do you have your tweet...
Yeah, you pull your tweeter out.
Do I pull my tweeter out? Are you guys trying to be funny?
No, do you? No, I'm not trying to be funny.
I don't know. I don't sit there with my phone tweeting every bloody thing that happens to me. I don't do that. Unless there's something going on that's like heavy duty, you know? Like, I mean, I'll tweet crap if there's an automobile accident. I'll pull over first, bud. And then I'll tweet that. Only because it's, you know, it's my nature as a quasi-journalist to want to let people know stuff that's going on.
But by that time, they had a helicopter.
Yeah, I was going up the 405. Big deal, man. I saw all these choppers, and I saw all these cop cars going by me. Little did I know, because I was too thick or dumb to understand, a guy the cops were chasing just blew right past me.
Where was this?
It was on the 405. I was going north. I was coming up from, I don't know where the hell I was coming, San Diego. And, or Newport Beach or something. And I was coming north, and I see all these cop cars sailing past me. Somewhere along the way, I missed who it was they were chasing. But the cop cars are sailing past me. I'm still going north on the 405. I'm heading into Long Beach. And now I see all kinds of choppers in the sky. And I'm thinking, okay, this is, whatever this is. And then it dawned on me, it's a, chase. So I pulled over and I tweeted this crap.
Did anybody say thanks a lot, Phil?
No. I don't even know why. I mean, it's just, it's an instinct you have. You've been in this business so long, you want to tweet what you think is news. And that probably wasn't all that big. I wish I'd been in a nightclub seeing a guy getting punched out. That's the way, you know.
Well, it's a lot sexier.
Yeah, it's a lot sexier. Jesus.
Well, Phil, it's better than going, ooh, I just saw a man go fast.
Yeah, y'all, like, how many chases they got in this town anyway?
Great, okay, fine. But when it goes right by you like that, sometimes it's... an interesting thing. All right, Phil Henry Show will be back with Stephen Bozell to find out just exactly what he takes on, what he takes away, as we like to say in the business, you know, what he takes away from this whole comic punches guy out. And also online at philhenryshow.com in our online store, the brand new Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts, Ted and Steve Bozell coming up in our last hour as well. We got Steve now, but actually just be Ted, right?
Yeah, Ted. Steve don't want to do it on account of Ted. One cut, Steve.
I didn't understand what that jackass said.
What did you say, bud?
Steve doesn't want to do it because he's on this hour.
Yeah, don't be going...
Man, move past it, man.
Just move past it, Phil.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for the professional opinion. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Move past it. Phil Henry Show, welcome back here. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California is joining us, and we're going to talk with him about stand-up comedy and, you know, should you guys expect to get your, you know, lights punched out by somebody who's pissed off? I mean, not you, but us, I guess, the critics out here in critic land. Steve is in Corona, California, where he lives with his wife and his son and daughter, and he joins us on our newsmaker line. And Steve, I know that you're an amateur, but you have done your fair share of stand-up in the past.
In association with the work that I do as a construction contractor.
Now, you're working with Ted Bell, by the way, on our pro football game of the week.
Yes, sir.
And so you're doing football commentary for us here on the Phil Henry Show, but you're also, when are you doing your stand-up?
Well, I do that on the weekend. I do it generally for, I've done children's parties, and I've done graduation parties. I also did, I did a church social or a men's club, but it's all good.
And you get paid for this.
You get paid in how good it feels. I mean, I don't want to give you the idea that I'm doing little tiny kid jobs. I do important comedy jobs. I just don't want to go and do these clubs, because you see right here what happens, with a guy who's going to tweet all kinds of things. And I'd rather work the men's club at our church.
Well, you said little kid party. How old are the kids?
Well, no, they're not so young. Here's a joke that I did at a little kid party. What did the island goblin sea monster say? That's a little kid joke, okay?
Okay.
And I'll get on and say, what did the island, these islands aren't Philippine me up. I need Samoa Tahiti. See? And
no, I don't.
Yeah, yes, you do. These islands aren't Philippine me up. I need Samoa Tahiti. And so that's a little kid. Little kids will go hog wild on that. I mean, you get a standing ovation. And I realize it is little tiny kid material, but that's what I do.
Now, you get paid for these gigs, right?
You get paid in the appreciation of the kid sometimes, but again, my professionalism is not based upon how much money I make. My professionalism is based upon the people understand that I'm doing quality material and that I show up on time. I don't have liquor on my breath or anything that, and you're going to get a bang, you're going to get a big bang out of it. And to me, that's the best thing that there is in the world of stand-up comedy.
Talking to Steve Bozell, who is an aspiring stand-up comic. I mean, you're a professional. I understand, sir, but you're not playing any clubs.
Well, at this point, I don't know whether I want to, because if you're going to stand there and you're doing your grade A material, and there's a guy there who has his cell phone out and he's tweeting comments about how much your act is rotten, rotten to the core. You gotta count to more than just 10. You gotta count to 20.
Have you ever had anybody, Steve, because you saw how this comic reacted, and I would say badly, wouldn't you?
Well, I think he reacted badly, but understand that there's only so much that you can stand, There's only so much you can stand before you finally just, put the mic in the stand, you step very gently off the stage, and you go directly for that individual to solve the problem,
Well, what is solving the problem? Punching the guy out?
I don't know, but, there's only so much you can take, and only so much you're going to be able to stand before, I just think that...
All right, Stephen Bozell is who we're talking to. What do you think of the...
Well, I didn't finish my comment.
It sounded like you were getting a little emotional.
I'm just saying, I can't fault Mr. Nanan for going back there and at least saying to the guy, you should be more respectful because this is quality material. And I had a man tweet something about how my act was the words that he used was rotten to the core. And this was on stage. It was at the annual church festival at the Corona First Church, where my family goes. I was working the kids' barnyard corral because they didn't want me on the main stage because my material, they felt, I guess they didn't have room for me. I was going to say it was too adult, but they put me with the kids' corral. And I did a joke, and this guy said I was rotten to the core. And I went back and I was going to say something to him. I wasn't going to punch him. but I was going to say something to him, and I wound up just, I stopped, I looked at him, and then I just ran from the tent to my truck.
So I would say this is a very emotional thing for you.
It's very emotional for any comic.
Steve, do you remember what the joke was?
If you could say that again, ma'am.
Yes, do you remember the joke that told that got the tweet?
Yeah, I said, what do Eskimos get from sitting on the ice too long? And I go, what do Eskimos get from sitting on the ice too long? And I waited, you know, one, you're supposed to give it a three beat. One, two, three, go. And then I said, Polaroids. You know, you get Polaroids. And,
okay.
Well, you know, okay. I mean,
That is funny. I mean,
well, if it's funny, I don't hear anybody going, ha, ha, ha. And that's what pissed me off. And
please, will you watch your language here, okay?
I apologize.
All right, but so you told that joke, and then how long before you found out what the tweet was?
Well, there was a little girl sitting in the front row. I understand you got to keep the material clean when you're working the Barnyard Corral. And
what is the Barnyard Corral again?
I was working the church festival.
That's right, okay.
So you were working the church festival, and you were working the small kid, the little kid?
They told me I had to go work that area because it's no big thing. You can work dirty, you can work filthy in the little kid Barnyard Corral because, you know, the kids are, the parents are warned if you bring your kid in here, even though it's a barnyard, there's still going to be some bad jokes. I mean, some adult jokes.
At a church thing?
Yes, sir.
I don't understand that.
Well, it's just, you don't have to understand it. I mean, that's the way it is.
All right, yes, she does need to understand it.
Yeah, I resent that comment, sir.
Well, I'm sorry, ma'am, but there's the way you want it to be, and there's the way it is. And, you know, in my world...
Okay, we understand that, but what we're talking about here is you're telling jokes in a venue that little kids are in.
I thought you brought me on here to talk about this guy, Rogan, who tweeted out all kind of dirty, who tweeted bad things, and he got his jaw locked up.
Yeah, we do want to talk about that, but I to get to that, we have to talk about material, and the material that you use on stage seems to be pretty clean. You're telling me that you're working small rooms where there's children, okay?
Not rooms. I said the Barnyard Corral.
Well, that's okay. It's the Barnyard Corral.
But what club is that?
It ain't a club, sir. God.
All right, take it easy. It's not a club. It's the church festival.
Oh, okay. I understand, Mr. Bozell.
Yeah, and the name's Bozell. So right there, we got one strike, two strike, three strike. I mean, what kind of ball game is this? The baseball that I play, you get three strikes. So far, you guys are it's strike 10. Okay, strike 10. You know, and the count is 13 and 10. And
well, I mean, how many strikes do you get?
That's what I'd like to know.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm trying to keep this online. So you are, you do this joke. What do Eskimos get from sitting on the ice too long? Polaroids. Now you find out that this guy says your act is, quote, rotten to the core.
Yes, sir.
How did you find that out?
There was a little girl that was sitting in the front row, and I saw her looking at her phone. She laughs and then holds it up and shows it to me. And I do the joke. I go, what do Eskimos get from sitting on the ice too long? Polaroids. And then I see her holding the phone, so I lean down. And that's when I heard this same guy, or not the same guy, I heard a voice say, what are you looking at? And I look up, and then I realized that she showed me the tweet, and that guy, I knew who it was. It was Jerry Stebbin. And that's when I threw the mic down, and I said, okay, all bets are off.
And that's when you walked toward him with the intention of punching him.
Yes, sir, and then I stopped, and I said, I better not, and I went to my truck, and that's where they found me. And
what do you mean, that's where they found you?
What were you doing?
I was just leaning into the wheel, weeping. And they found me because I apparently leaned too far and I hit the horn and the horn was just going off.
Had you passed out?
No, I just had leaned forward. I was crying and my head was leaning on the horn and I couldn't hear the horn from the sound of my own, you know, sobs. And
you know, I got to tell you, that seems like the most, the biggest overreaction I've ever heard.
Well, Mr. Henry, do you perform on a stage for a living?
No, well, no, I don't. Not a live stage. You're right.
Well, then I don't think you are in a position to judge. You have to understand, as a comic, and what happened to Dan Nanan is happening all over this country. Every night, every club, every hour, there's a comic who's trying to get some quality material, going, and you got a guy who, man, he couldn't find it with both hands. And a guy's up there, you're trying to work and work and work and doing everything what he can do. And what do you think is happening? He's being treated like it's the biggest dumbass that this world or any world that you could probably.
All right, hold on for a minute because I can't, I've got to take a break here. Steve, I appreciate that, but I had to just put you on hold. I think what he's saying.
Well, what he's saying is that you're working very, very hard as a comic, and you've got people tweeting this criticism, and it hurts. But I'm here to say to you, Phil, and I know you you know this.
Yeah. Welcome to the world, man. Yeah.
Exactly. Welcome to the world.
Well, I don't disagree with that. However, obviously, there is a very strong emotional reaction because here's a guy that punched somebody out, and Steve goes to his truck and weeps so loudly that, you know, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Last night, Wednesday night, I say last night, it might be, it's still Thursday night everywhere here in the good old USA. On Wednesday night at the Improv in Washington, D.C., on DuPont Circle, I'm specifying because I don't know how many improvs are in the D.C. area, there was a comic on stage, Dan Nanan, who I guess was not to the liking of a writer for the Daily Beast, Joe Rogan. He's a foreign correspondent for the Daily Beast. He's in the crowd. He's tweeting, and he tweeted how bad this cat's act was, and this guy got pissed off, came off the stage, apparently found out that this guy was... How do you find out when you're on stage? And Steve, you told us that you found out that your jokes weren't going over well with at least one of the people in the crowd that night. A little girl in the front row held her phone up.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Do you... I don't know. How would that...
I don't doubt that that's exactly what happened to Mr. Nanan. And you know, you're struggling. And you got, I don't know how well he was doing, but I can well imagine if you're playing on the improv, you're going to be, you're bringing your grade A game, you're bringing your A game, and there's some guy. If you think about these writers and bloggers and this kind of thing on the internet, that's not what I call a prestige gig, and the guy sitting out there in the crowd. And he's tweeting how rotten your act is. Somebody ought to tweet about this guy Joe Rogan, how much he blows.
All right, I understand.
I mean, seriously. I mean, if you're out there and you're criticizing a man who's working his butt off, and you're working for the Daily Beast, and you probably stink. 6 days out of 7. Somebody ought to see how he feels about that,
Well, everybody that is in the public eye and everyone that does anything in a public way to make a living especially is going to be subject to criticism. And I don't doubt that Joe Rogan has that.
Well, but I don't see anybody saying how bad he sucks.
Well, you may if he punched that person out, you see. Because what I'm saying to you, Steve, is we wouldn't have known about this guy tweeting this stuff about Dan Nanan if Dan hadn't punched him out. Now, There's two sides to this coin, or there's a lot of ways of looking at this, I should say. One of them is the guy punching out Joe Rogan, Dan Nanan, may have gotten himself some notoriety or publicity that is beneficial to him, although I doubt that. I mean, a club owner is going to be reluctant, I think, unless he wants to take advantage of the notoriety.
Well, that's just it. There is a very short-term advantage... Okay, two.
We're waiting.
What do you mean we're waiting? Why don't you...
Take it easy, take it easy.
There is a short-term advantage to booking a guy like Dan Nanan and saying, well, this is the guy that shut that guy's mouth. Now, I am a writer, and I take the side of the writer here, but I also know what it feels like to finally shut someone up. And I have to tell you, it feels good.
You're about to talk about Delmonico.
If you're talking about my son, could you use his full name, please?
His name isn't Delmonico.
Well,
Jason J. Yes, I am talking about that because Jason Day, from the time I got home from New York, I made dinner, or Amparo made dinner, but I made dinner. When one of our domestics...
Come on, get to the point.
No, I'm going to make this point. When the domestic makes dinner, I've made dinner. That's my point.
Well, that's great. What does that mean?
Just what I said. No, I'm not saying that our domestic made... I made the dinner.
Does anybody know that I'm on the phone here?
No, we know you're on the phone, but Margaret's making... So what is the point here?
You're going to talk about the time you punched out Delmonico?
I didn't punch out Delmonico. My son is Jason J. Delmonico, you hick. And
you see, that's what I'm talking about, Mr. Henry.
Come on, will you guys just be polite to each other, please?
Well, then don't have him butt in.
I'm not a hick. I'm not going to be called a hick, okay? I will not appreciate that at all.
Well, you may not appreciate it, but that's exactly what you are. I don't care who you are. You got it.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, I got home, Jason J. Delmonico, blah, 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 blah. I sit down, I try to enjoy my dinner, blah, blah, blah. And I realize that I am right-handed. That means that I can continue lifting the fork to my mouth and enjoying my dinner. And at the same time, I can lift my left hand up and snap it back as a backhand, catch Jason J. on the jaw with my engagement ring. Okay, you following?
Yes, I'm following. I mean, what are you doing? What is this, a lesson in how to abuse a kid?
Hey, excuse me.
That's not abuse. I gotta take Miss Gray side on that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, you backhand everything.
I'm telling you, when the opportunity presents itself, you move. You have to act.
And the opportunity presented itself that you're right-handed.
That's right. And I was eating the tortilla soup that Amparo slash me made, not me made, but...
That you made.
Not you made, I made.
That you made, okay.
Are you yelling at me?
Margaret, you're going to have to just quit it with the thin skin here. I'm trying to get this story to move along.
Mr. Henry, I can explain it to you.
I don't need you explaining it, Bozell. I appreciate it, but I don't need... What I'm saying is I'm right-handed. I'm eating the tortilla soup. I'm reaching for tortillas. I'm reaching for salt. I'm buttoning my blouse. I'm doing everything with my right hand. My left hand has nothing to do. On the left of me is Jason Delmonico, Jason J, going blah, 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 blah. So what would you do? I mean, this script writes itself. All right?
Yeah, I can understand that.
The script writes it, so you just went ahead and backhanded him and shut him up.
You know, you gotta do what you gotta do, all right?
Yeah, all I'm saying that, Mr. Henry, I mean, you do got a man got to do what a man got to do.
What do you mean a man's got to do what a...
Well, no, but a lady got to do what a man did.
Oh, would you stop? A woman's got to do what a woman's got to do. Is that what you're trying to say?
That's what I said, okay?
No, you didn't. Said man's got to do.
You idiot. God, I hate you so much. You're black, and I should like you because I'm a liberal, but I hate you.
Yeah, well, you have to say things the right way. I'm not talking like a...
Come on, will you?
I've been on a lot of radio programs. I've never been in one that's quite the cluster bang that this thing is. I'm trying to get said the things that I need to say. And
all right, I'll talk to you about the things you want to say. But we've got Margaret here talking about backhand. You know, that's a story, Margaret, that we could have gotten finished with in about one quarter of the time. You sat down, you had dinner. Jason J. Delmonico was yap, 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 and you backhanded him. And the essential point is you understand it when you get emotion. When people get emotional and they get angry, some people just lash out physically. You understand that?
Yes, that's what I said.
Right. You said it in about a half an hour.
Well, then tell that one there to shut up and that hayseed you got on the phone.
I had said once before, I'm a father and a mother, not a mother.
You're a father and a mother.
I'm a father and I'm married to a mother, which is my mother, not my mother, but...
You're married to your mother.
No, ma'am, I'm not married to my mother. No, ma'am, I'm not God.
All right.
I'm not saying anything.
That's a good point, Miss Gray.
Thank you.
All right, fine.
Can I say something? Because all that's happened here, Mr. Henry, since I come on your program, is I've been made to look like a Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey clown coming out of a car.
All right, Mr. Bozell, you have made the point that you work your ass off. Comics work their asses off. They expect to be treated with a little bit of respect. I believe that that is probably unrealistic in today's climate, given the rather rough and tumble and rowdy nature of comedy clubs. I think that you're going to take your shots. You're going to get the hecklers. And now we have a whole new medium for hecklers. It's called Twitter. And there comes a time, I think, when, what's the saying? You know, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Well, yeah, but that's true, Mr. Andy. However, if you're doing grade A quality material, the night that I'm talking about this guy, that I wept and wept and wept, and I pulled myself together. I came back the next week, and I see this guy Stebbins in the crowd again, And I said, okay, I'm going to lay it on him, and if this doesn't work with him, then he can rot in hell. I knew what he was going to do. I knew he was tweeting, and that same little girl was there, too.
What's with this little girl? Was she there with her parents?
I don't know. It was the Barnyard Corral.
So little kids get in?
Yeah, they get in, and there's no minimum. And
what do you mean, no minimum?
This is a place for children?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean, no minimum? There's kids there. This is a church festival.
Right, but you got a 2-drink minimum. Where you been?
Hey, pal, I've been a lot of places, and I've never heard of a church festival that's got a 2-drink minimum in the Barnyard Corral with the little kids. But in any event, so the little kid's there.
Yeah, this little girl was there. This is a 2-week festival. She's back for more. And I can see her looking at her phone because she knows Stebbins going to be tweeting me. So I come with the guy. I come out with a joke. I said, "What'd the gangster say when the house fell on him?" And that's when this guy Stebbins stands up and goes, "Get off me, Holmes." And I said, "You, I hope." And I hated him so much for that.
Was that the punchline?
Yes, sir. That was the punchline.
Oh, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah, it hurt. And I looked at the little girl, and I said, "You did it, didn't you?" And she's all, "Ha ha!" She's all, "Ha ha, mister." And apparently...
How did she know the punchline?
Because I told her the joke before the show started. And she immediately tweets Stebbins. He stands up, and he's wrapped the program almost like a megaphone. He goes, "Because it says get off me home like that." And I said, "Stebbins, you better run." I said, "But as far as you run, there's no place you can hide on this earth." I said, "I'll find you." I said, "So you better just go run."
What did he do?
He left, you know.
You go looking for him?
No, I didn't go looking for him. I got a job. I had to go to.
All right, Steve, hold on for a minute. This is a pointless exercise.
Well, Phil, you're the one that booked this.
I booked it because I wanted to talk. You know what I'm getting? Here's what I'm gathering. That there are some comics, Mr. Bozell and Mr. Nanan, that should not be doing it for a living because they can't take the criticism. Bozell, he's either crying in his truck or he's got that little girl, I don't know how old she is, but she's got his number, man. She knows exactly how to piss him off. And that Stebbins guy. And what is with the kid?
I think that's her dad. Yeah, that's her dad, too. So he puts his daughter in the front row.
Oh, that's right. That's Nicole Stebbins, yeah.
Oh, you know these families.
Well, yes, I do.
So he puts her in the front row. She gets as much information as she can. She tweets it back to her dad, and then he does this, and it's a big laugh riot.
Yeah, I think that's how it is.
All right. We'll take that one under advisement. Boy, is that weird. Man, you talk about a family. That's a family that needs something to do. I'll tell you that. World-famous Phil Henry Show here, and philhenryshow.com. We are online there. Don't forget our Ted Bell T-shirts are in stock. We'll be right back with our final segment here. And then we got Ted Bell next hour talking about the Pro Football Game of the Week and other such falderall. Plus a story about Jimmy Kimmel and Kanye West. Really weird. More comics and more bad blood. World famous Phil Henry Show. All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. If you are a BSP, you are part of the inner circle of a radio show, 23 years old now. This past summer, 23 years, we have been presenting a theatrical, satirical, mentally deficient.
Humor deficient.
Humor deficient? This isn't humor deficient. See this? This is a ring. I'm going to turn it out.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And, I'll tell you when it's humor deficient, man. When I got to work with you, that's when it's humor deficient.
All right, boys.
Jesus, was that gay?
Well, I'm a female. What do you mean gay?
Yes, it's an all right, boys.
Anyway, so join us at philhenryshow.com with a BSP. Steve Bozell, our final segment here as we talk about stand-up comedy. And we had a situation where a stand-up comic punched out a dude in a nightclub. The reason why we know about this is that the guy that got punched is a writer for the Daily Beast, which is an online news site. And he was saying the guy sucked. Why don't people have, Steve, freedom of speech?
Well, I don't think, myself and other people that do, you know, stand-up comedy and everything that we do, I don't think we're saying that you're not allowed to have the freedom of speech. What we're saying is just for a precious few minutes that you come into the comedy club to enjoy the comedy of the comedian that's there, we're saying for just the precious few moments of life, you know, that if you could just give me my time, because I don't, you know, I'm not asking anything more than for you to just, you know, climb off my back and get away from me and let me do what I got to do, you know, what I got to do. And
Steve, this is Margaret. You sound very tongue-tied and nervous. Are you comfortable on stage?
Well, I don't know. What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, what is... I mean, that's a little...
Well, I mean, you're not... I don't doubt that you're funny, but the way you're talking now, is it possible that your nerves may provoke this in people?
My nerves are fine, ma'am.
Well, you ran out of the tent, you said, right?
Yeah, it's the Barnyard Corral. How many times...
I understand that, but it's not a nightclub. You ran out of the tent to your truck, and you started crying because the guy was giving you a hard time about your joke. He said it was rotten to the core.
Yeah, and then the next week he stood up and he gave the punchline. You know, what did the gangster say when the house fell on him? Get off of me, Holmes.
Yeah, and the guy stood up. Can I ask you a question? Obviously you think that's a good joke.
I think that's a very quality, you know, basic unit of humor. Here's one. This is one that always... How do you catch... Here's one. Why were the strawberries upset? They were in a jam. Now, that's a good, quality, basic joke that always gets laughs. I don't care where you are. You're going to get the good, quality laugh. And
what do you call a good, quality laugh?
Yeah, to me, that sounds like a little kid joke.
Well, no, it's not a little kid. Why is that a little kid joke?
Well, it sounds like a little kid joke.
What does that mean, it sounds like a little kid joke?
It's not very thought-provoking. It's a basic... It's sort of just a chortle. You know, it's a...
What? What are you people talking about? I mean, if you... I worked on that joke all summer.
All summer you worked on that joke, huh?
That'll take about 2 days to write a joke like that, maybe.
Oh, is that right? Well, how many jokes have you written?
I write a couple every now and again. Why'd the chicken cross the road?
To get to the other side?
No, he had to report to work at KFC.
That blows. I'm sorry.
Better than the one that you done did.
My joke is way better, if you're talking about...
Well, hold on. See, this is what we're talking about. This is a subjective thing, right?
It is very subjective. Humor is very subjective. That means that what is funny to me, or what may be funny to someone else, is not necessarily funny to you, Steve, or to you, Bud. So, your joke was what?
My joke... Why did chicken cross on a road?
No, you said...
Let him tell the joke, Bozell, okay?
Whatever.
Why did chicken cross a road?
To get to the other... Well, no, you already said.
Don't say it. Just pretend like you didn't hear it at all.
Report to work at KFC.
I said don't pretend you didn't hear it. God!
All right, Bud, say the joke again.
I know the joke. Why did chicken cross the road?
Shut up! Why did chicken cross the road?
I don't know.
You?
No.
You?
No, I don't.
You, Mr. Bozell?
Well, yeah, but...
You're supposed to say no!
Bud, relax before I punch you out, will you?
You're supposed to say no!
God, man.
Well, why did chicken cross the road?
I don't know.
To report to work at KFC.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic, man. That's hysterical. That's great.
And yet my joke about a strawberry jam, you can't even give me the dignity.
Mr. Bozell, not that we don't want to give you dignity... But the jokes suck on a variety of levels.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, first of all, it sounds like a kid joke. Second of all, I've heard it before, I think.
No, you didn't, because I wrote it.
Well...
You claim to have written that.
Yes, I do.
Well, even if... And you wouldn't mind taking credit, even if you really did write that.
Ma'am, I wrote that joke last summer. It took me June, July, part of August, because I was working. I was doing another thing. It took me part of August. I finally come up with jam... And I know you think that I probably should have had that joke wrote it down before that, but I had to, you know, I was going two ways with it. And
what ways are you going to go with a joke about? What is the joke again?
Why were the strawberries upset?
What's the other way you could go with it?
You could say, why were the strawberries upset? Because they were going to be picked, you know?
Well, what's funny about that?
That's why I didn't use it.
You know what, Mr. Bozell, good luck.
Well, Mr. Henry, I've never gotten a fair hearing yet on your show.
Yes, you have. You've gotten more than a fair hearing on this show. I've kept you on the air far longer than I should have.
And I just think that's a load. I think that's a load. And I think that I what I'm trying to say is simply that you're not giving me no respect, and this is the whole reason why I got punched the guy out.
Well, do you want to punch Phil out?
No, I don't want to punch him out.
Well, Mr. Bozell, you could punch me out if you want. You could, you know, come and kick my ass if you want, but I still say your joke stinks, and most of the jokes you told here tonight stink.
All right, well, then you want me to punch you?
No, I don't, but I have the right to say that your jokes suck, just like that cat did,
What do you mean, cat?
The guy from the Daily Beast.
He's an idiot.
Well, really, you think so? First of all, these jokes that this guy's got, they're all kiddie jokes, okay?
Well, that's what I was saying.
That's what you were saying?
From the very beginning, it sounded to me as if the man was doing jokes for little children.
Margaret.
No, listen to me. He was doing jokes for children.
All right, so he's doing jokes for children.
Yes, and my point was very simply this. No wonder someone wanted to put a knee right into his ball bag.
Okay, Margaret.
Well, I didn't say it out loud.
Yeah, people are going to be able to hear it.
Take it easy. All right. We're coming back next hour. Ted Bell is going to join us on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Story here, Kanye West rips Jimmy Kimmel sketch. Should I spoof your face or you effin' Ben Affleck? I don't know what that means. That was not very funny, Mr. West, but we're going to be checking that out. And, you know, other such things here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Just a reminder, program reminder, that we are not going to be here tomorrow night because I am in Washington, D.C., speak of the devil, to heckle Dan Nane. I'm kidding. No, I won't. No, I'm in Washington, D.C. A friend of mine is sick and is having surgery. We'll be right back next hour. I'll explain all of it.